Today's scripture comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as many as any had need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I know this might throw some of you off, but just take a breath. Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. The word of the Lord. We turn to the good news, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel telling us, inviting us, teaching us, nudging us, reminding us. This is from the gospel of John. If you are comfortable standing during the gospel, I invite you to join me in standing. John 20 is the morning after Easter morning, the morning of Easter morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Did you notice that we had three scriptures this morning? Here's a fourth one. This is from the Epistle of John. You remember epistle means letter. And John wrote three letters that are in our New Testament. And so here's a piece of this. And I didn't warn Sue ahead of time, so she doesn't have it. So you'll have to watch it on the screen with your ears, okay? You with me now? All right. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lots of scriptures this morning. Lots of interesting things going on. How many of you like that psalm about unity? Unity is so good. It's like oil on your head and flowing down over your beard and down all over your coat, all over your collar and down all over your robe. How many of you think that sounds kind of messy? You know, I think that turn, I'm thinking, there goes the dry cleaner bill. But you know, this is a different, this is several millennia ago. They probably didn't have lotion and moisturizers, and that beautiful, precious, aromatic oil was not only good for the skin, but it probably smelled wonderful in a time when very few things did smell wonderful. But the rest of that psalm says it is like the dew which falls on the mountains. That's what unity is. Unity is like the moisture that we need to help us through this drought. The dew that falls on the mountains. Think about that. Unity. That's what he's talking about. Unity is like that. Unity with our kindred living in harmony. I had to look up that word kindred. I had to back up. I know what kindred means. How many of you know what kindred means? Kind of, sort of, you know, you get the gist of it. The original term was brothers. In the original Old Testament, it said brothers, but that was a time when women weren't. Women didn't count as people, see? Back in that age, gals, I hate to tell you, but you were just and others. It was the brothers who were the people of the world, and then there was the others. So you didn't count. It isn't our reality today, and I apologize that maybe I don't need to apologize, but it's why the word brother was used and why it was appropriate to translate it as kindred. You see, kindred means those that were near, those that are around us. I don't know the exact dictionary definition, but it means one another, doesn't it? As in love one another. I've heard that somewhere, love one another. I've heard that said somewhere. I thought it interesting to speak about unity today. The year 2018 is anything but a year of unity for our humanity. If I might say that, is maybe it's just me and I'm finally paying more attention to the news than I ever have, but it seems there is more divisions amongst more people in more places more often than any time I've ever seen in my life. There is ununity. I know that's not a word, but I'm going to make it up and use it for a minute. Now we have tribes. Everybody has a certain viewpoint and a kind of a place where they feel that they're right. And when a discussion happens, everybody retreats into their tribes. And we don't talk to each other and we kind of band together with who believes in what and who agrees with which. And so we have this division. There's no unity anywhere, it doesn't seem like to me. But this is interesting because I think last Sunday was Easter, wasn't it? Isn't that right? Easter means something important to me. Easter says to me, celebration of Christ and the resurrection and the gift of life and that gift of unity. Here's the first Sunday after Easter we're talking about unity. Maybe that's a good thing to... Pardon me. The trees and the pollen, you understand. That first Easter, they must have had unity. You can imagine after Jesus appeared in their midst, you remember that he appears to them and Thomas isn't there, and Thomas says, I'm not going to believe you guys unless I get to see him for myself. And so then Jesus appears, he says, now do you believe? And Thomas says, yes, Lord. And he says, well, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And so here they all are. There's the ones that have seen him and touched him and ate with him. Man, they have got to be fine-tuned. They've got to be a unified group, don't they? And we heard Nicole read in Acts, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possession, but everything they owned was held in common. Carol Ottenreit, finance chair, you're now in charge of all of our finances. Everybody that owns anything, just write it over to Carol. Yeah. She's got her hand up. She's ready there. Kind of gives you a weird feeling, doesn't it? Kind of the word communism is mixed in there, and there's all kinds of socialist ideas and all this stuff, and yet we hear this talking about the disciples, and we think about it, and You back out all of that other stuff that creates tribes, and it says, there was not a needy person among them. That's where we're going. There was not a needy person among them. One person has more than they can handle, more, three coats, and one person has none. What do? We know this. We've got this figured out. We're not good at applying it yet, but we understand the rationale and where we're going. Is that what the kingdom of Christ is about? Is that unity, that sharing, that making sure that there is no one who is needy among us and caring for them? A place of unity without conflict, without dissension? Surely the first generation could do that. Surely they could pull that off. Surely they accomplished that and were good at it. And then we come to John 20. That scripture that I read standing right out here, you remember a minute ago I was down here, do you remember? There it was. We all stood up and we read it together, John. Interesting passage. Scholars have a name for that passage. It's not really the official one. It's kind of an unofficial one. It's called the Apostolic Foot Race. Did you hear that? Simon, Peter, and John, Mary Magdalene sees the tombs open. She runs and she tells the disciples. And so there's... Well, now we have to pause. You see, because he's not really John, he's the other disciple. We don't know. We don't know why all of the gospel artists said the disciple that Jesus loved, the other disciple, instead of saying John. We're all pretty well convinced it was John, but for reasons that are lost to us now after 2,000 years, we're unclear why the other disciple isn't just called John. But for our discussion today, is it all right if I just use John? Saves me a couple of words there. I'm getting tired. So John and Simon Peter, they hear what Mary Magdalene says, and they both take off running for the tomb. Did you hear that? And they're running to the tomb, and one of them gets there first. Who gets there first? Do you remember? The other disciple. Yes, John, the other disciple. But then an interesting thing happens, because although John is there first, and it says it explicitly, he bent down and looked in, saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter comes second. He must not have been quite the runner that John was, you know. And what happens? Simon Peter goes in first, and then John follows him. Well, as it turns out, at the time of the writing of the Gospel of John, there was already division amongst the body. There was already competition, and the unity had dissolved. All of the followers, the disciples, they'd all kind of started their own churches. And Simon Peter had a following, the Petrine community. The other disciple, John, had his Johannine community. And you know what? They were in competition.
Well, our disciple's better than your disciple. I mean, our disciple, Simon Peter, he's the one that acknowledged that when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? It was Simon Peter who said, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the living God. And the others, oh no, but John did this first, and John was the one that Jesus loved best. And so here's that first community, the very first set of disciples, the ones that should have been the most well-tuned. And they're in competition. So the author, in writing the Gospels, poking his finger in their eye. You see, which one was the first to experience Christ's empty tomb? John or Simon Peter? Now think about it a minute. Who got there first? John, but he didn't go in first. Who went in first? Simon Peter. The author is very carefully saying, neither was first, neither was second. It's silly to be in competition over this. It's a way of saying, look what you're arguing over. Neither one wins when you're in that competition. Neither disciple wins. Neither church wins. And we do not win. The apostolic foot race. It's a sign that unity thing is a hard thing to come by. It's a hard thing to manage, to put together, to make work, to
apply to our daily lives to be in the midst of everything. I am sorry, the trees and the pollen and this morning, and it's just is what it is. You have my apologies. And then we walk into this letter from John. If we say that we have fellowship while we're walking in darkness, we lie and we do not do what is true. Do we have fellowship with all of our brothers and sisters, all of our kindred, all of those others? I have to be the first to confess that there are people that I feel like I'm on one side of a fence and they're on another. Now, I'm not sure what their obligation is, but I know that mine is to break that fence down, to remove that barrier and move closer to one another. In our humanness, we tend to be competitive. In our humanness, we divide. In our humanness, there's this thing about superiority and inferiority. And in this humanness, we are walking in darkness, and that is not the unity we're called to. Christ knew that struggle would be in this. He knew we would struggle against each other. And in the epistle it says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It would seem that those who were closest to Jesus, that first generation of disciples, those who were physically present to witness all of that, would have been completely and totally, purely unified, and they were not. And Jesus knew that human condition, and fortunately left with us, leaves with us, has for us the Holy Spirit. Yes, the lights came back on. I don't know. The Holy Spirit reappeared there for a moment. If there is division, and you're aware of division, if you have seen division and heard division, if you have gotten caught up in division, and I have as well, then we need to do that other part that's in John, and that is confess our division and seek to get back into right relationship.